Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We're continuing with the chapter on the severe prohibition of giving false testimony. So yesterday we were explaining that in order to maintain justice in any system, in any country, in any place, in any khilafah, then one thing that is very important is the justice system must be maintained. If a person has got, or people have got this in them, that they become dishonest, and to maintain any system becomes very, very difficult. We can see it around us where there's corruption. Then to maintain any system of law, to obey any system becomes very difficult because every person is on the take. So now there's no law left. And then when the judges and the people in the department of justice also start taking, then what happens? There'll be absolutely no law and order left in the country. Every person that is wealthy, influential, can buy himself out. So therefore Sharia doesn't like this. Sharia like fairness, honesty. So when it comes to giving testimony also, then you be very honest. Don't speak lies. Be honest about the testimony that you are giving. Because the person, the justice system relies very heavily on witnesses coming and giving testimony. And based on that, sometimes laws are given. Based on that, sometimes verdicts are given, rulings are given. And many times the ruling is given against one person in favor of another person. But if that ruling was given in favor of one person against someone because of that person speaking lies, now that is something that is very serious. You have taken away the right of someone because of what you have spoken. This person may think, I got away my friend here, I made a plan for him. But there's no making a plan. The day of Qiyamah, this person will be taken severely to task. Why? Because he has spoken lies, he had given false testimony. So this is what this chapter is speaking about. Yesterday we did the various ayat of the Quran Sharif, which Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought. And here he brings only one hadith under this section, and today we'll do that hadith. An Abi Bakrat radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala unabbi'ukum bi akbaril kabair, qulna bala ya Rasulullah, qal al ishraku billah wa uququl walidin, wa kana muttaki'an fajalasa, faqal ala wa qawlu zur, فَمَا زَالَ يُكَرِّرُهَا حَتَّى قُلْنَا لَيْتَهُ سَكَتَ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Hazrat Abu Bakr Rufay ibn al-Haris radiyallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, should I not inform you of the most serious of major sins? So should I not inform you of the most serious of the major sins? So he asked this question three times and we replied, indeed, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would ask sometimes like this, and he would repeat the question. And as we'll go on, we'll see, sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeat the answer. And the reason he would do this was for emphasis, to create emphasis. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeat the question, and he would repeat the answer at times. So, Sahaba replied, indeed, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then explained what is the most serious of major sins. Al-ishraku billah wa uququl walidain. Ascribing partners with Allah Ta'ala and disobeying parents. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been lying down, but suddenly he sat up and he said, and giving false testimony. He continued repeating this words, and giving false testimony, and giving false testimony. He continued repeating these words until we hoped that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would remain silent. This hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif. There is some explanation that needs to be given here. Firstly, we find that the most severest of sins is al-ishraku billah, the person ascribing partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know that Allah ta'ala forgives all sins. It doesn't matter what sin a person committed or commits. Allah ta'ala is the forgiver of all sins. But when it comes to ascribing of partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala himself mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah Ta'ala does not forgive ascribing partners with Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala forgives everything else. Whatever Allah Ta'ala, besides that, whatever Allah Ta'ala wishes to forgive, He will forgive. So it shows that how serious ascribing, making shirk, making someone else a partner with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is very serious. And next to that, in this hadith, what is brought? Disobedience to parents. Which is something that is so common today. So common, the disobedience of parents. Here it shows us that the fact that it's brought together would ascribing partners with Allah Ta'ala shows that it's a very, very serious sin. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the beginning described it as the most serious of major sins. So ulama under this explained that we as parents have to be very careful that we don't make our children fall under this category. And one example that is given is that when an instruction is given to a child in matters that are permissible, when instruction is given to a child in those things that are impermissible, then the child doesn't have to obey the parents. The parents are telling the children, listen to music, or let's go to some party where there's going to be guna taking place. Now the child doesn't listen, there's no guna there. Why? Because the parent is given an instruction of sin, of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But where the parents are giving a direct instruction in something that is permissible, for example, the parent tell the child, do this, get me that glass of water, or do something that is permissible, in a permissible nature, or the parent is instructing the child to do something or to go somewhere that is permissible, but the child doesn't listen. Ulama explained that the fact that the parents have instructed the child to do that, now it becomes wajib for the child to listen to the parents in matters that are permissible. Matters that are impermissible, as we explained, the child doesn't have to obey the parents in that. But in things that are permissible, by the very fact that the parent is giving a direct instruction, now becomes wajib for the child to obey. And if the child doesn't obey, what happens? We have made our children disobedient to their parents. We have made them disobedient to their parents. So already we have made our children major sinners by us giving direct instructions. So therefore, as Mufti Shafi Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, would explain, don't give these direct instructions. Rather you jest, not jest, rather you hint, or rather you suggest that this is what should be done. So it in a more in a suggestive tone, that this is what I feel is a good way to do it, or this is a better way, or nice way. A person becomes suggestive in something that he wants the child to do. And the child also should have that much of intelligence to understand that this is the desire of my parent to do this. So in that way, it's not a direct instruction, a child to do this or do that or do that. And the child doesn't listen. Now the child becomes sinners. Sometimes we don't realize we're making our own children major sinners by direct instructions. So therefore we should do it in a more suggestive way. Now it doesn't become wajib or necessary for the child to obey, because it is coming across as a suggestion. My Ustad has Mufti Sahib, even at home, if he needs something or he wants something, say for example a glass of water, having something to eat, a glass of water, so he'll ask her, is there water? He won't say, bring a glass of water or do this. He'll say, is there water? The person is feeling for something like achar with the food, say, is there? So they ask like in a question. In other words, there's no instruction to anybody to do anything. Firstly, nobody is our khadim, nobody is our servant. We should be doing ourselves. But if we sometimes sitting down already and now it is difficult, or someone is coming from the kitchen, but the question would be, is there? In other words, it's more like a suggestion. And if a person is intelligent around, they'll understand. So this is things that we should keep in mind, not try and give direct instructions and make our children disobedient. In the last part of this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned that he was lying down and he sat up, and then he said, "Ala wa qulu zur," that to give false testimony. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept repeating this. The narrator of the hadith is saying that he continued repeating it until we hoped that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would remain silent. What this part means is, out of extreme love that they had for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew by him repeating this, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was repeating it for emphasis, they knew by him repeating it, it was creating difficulty for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fact that he repeated it so many times to create the emphasis, they said that we hoped that he would have kept quiet so that ease would have come to him. In other words, he was trying to impress upon us, and we understood already that he was trying to impress upon us, and we did not want extra taklif and extra burden upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, we just hoped that he had remained silent so he would have been at ease. So out of extreme love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that we hoped that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would remain silent. Otherwise, if a person just reads it like this without understanding, then they would think wrong of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wrong of Sahaba, that how could they say that they hope he remained silent. What it meant is that they didn't want him to take that extra burden, or a sign of extreme love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala also give us that love, also give us that ability that we hear something and we make niyyah that we practice upon it. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.